The second Gemara is, the Gemara said on the very bottom of Daf Vav Amud Aleph, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak said, "My dechsev, what's pshat in the pasuk that says, Al titein Hashem mavayei roshno, zmamay al tofek, yarumu sela." Says the Gemara, this pasuk is actually describing a tefillah that was recited by Yaakov Avinu. Amar Yaakov Nei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbeinu Shalaylam, Al titein le'esav harosho tavas libay. Please make sure that Esav HaRosha is not able to just recklessly do whatever he wants. Specifically, zmamay al tofek, don't remove his muzzle. Which element of Esav, what generation of Esav was Yaakov so afraid of? So the Gemara says, garmam yishal adam. He was worried about garmam yishal adam. And he said, shalmalei hein yoitzin, because if they're going to be allowed to run around without their muzzle, machriven kol olam kulban, they would have the ability to destroy the entire world. So Yaakov Avinu, Ruach HaKodesh, it's this week's parasha, he sees everything. Bikesh legalis, asakates, and he sees that there's one nation in the world that he's very, very afraid of. And he says he thinks this nation maybe has the potential to mamish take the yidden down, his children. And he's very worried about that. And he recites a tefillah. He says, Mamay al tafek, he's referring to garmam yishal adayim. It's Yodua, the Rabbi Yaakov Emden, in his Agoyis Yaivitz on this Gemara says, Kimidum, I think that this land of Germania that Yaakov Avinu was so worried about is Germania here. It's Germany. It's Ashkenaz Shalanu. It's the city that we today know as Germany. It's interesting. There's a Gemara, Masechtas Yuma, Daf Yura Med Aleph, where the Gemara there too mentions the land of Garmamya. And the Vilna Goyin and Azagoy Sagra on that Gemara, on the Daf, in Masechtas Yuma, Daf Yura Med Aleph, changes the Gersa. He says it's not Garmamya, but really what it is Germania. But the point is, Rabbi Yaakov Emden says that this land of Garmamya Shal Edoim, that Yaakov Avinu was so worried about, it was none other than the land of Germany, and it's impossible to learn this Gemara without drawing a parallel and a connection between what we all witnessed and we're all aware of happened not so long ago in the Holocaust, where the Nazis wanted to implement a final solution, and with tremendous rachmei shamayim, at some point it all came to an end. But the bottom line is, clearly, they were a very, very dangerous opponent of the Yidden, perhaps the most dangerous of all time. And Rabbi Yaakov Emden wrote 250 years ago that what this Gemara says is that it seems that Yaakov Avinu was worried about Germany. I mean, Rabbi Yaakov Emden knew what Germany was. And he says, I think that's what he's talking about. And there was some divine nevius in this Gemara, Masechtas Megillah, where Yaakov Avinu looks through he sees King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella, and he sees the Crusades, and he sees everything up in Germany. That's where he stopped. That's where Etzich Gestalt. And he said, Garmam Yishal Edoim, this is the land that I'm afraid of. So just to digress and to end the shir with one fascinating idea. It's well known, but Ein Beis Medrash B'loi Chiddush, and that is a connection between the Holocaust, a connection between Nazi Germany and Masechtas Megillah, the Purim story. So we're all familiar with the Nuremberg trials. Shortly after World War II, so there were trials that were held, they were known as the Nuremberg Trials, and there were many high-ranking Nazis that were put on trial for crimes against humanity, for what they had done during World War II. Now, the trials themselves took about a year, and ultimately 11 people were sentenced to death. They were sentenced to be hung on October 16th, 1946. As an aside, the night before these 11 people were supposed to be hung, one of the Nazis that were convicted, Hermann Göring, Yimach Shemoy V'Zichroi, he hung himself in his jail cell. And therefore, by the time the morning came, they only hung 10 people, not 11. Now, one of the people that was hung was a man by the name of Julius Streicher, Yimach Shemoy V'Zichroi. Now, Julius Streicher was the publisher of Der Stürmer. Der Stürmer was a Nazi propaganda newspaper, etc., vehicle. And that's what they did to, you know, try to brainwash the people and to try to dehumanize the Jews. Because if you think about it, what the Nazis did is almost impossible to fathom. It's impossible to understand. And the Nazis knew it was going to be very, very hard, and they prepared for it. They prepared for it for years and years and years. And the way they did it was by spreading lies, obviously, and propaganda, and basically trying to make this point that the Jews are not really people, and they shouldn't be treated like people. So they worked for over a decade on dehumanizing the Jew in the eyes of the average German. And like this, they were able to gain support. Big deal. What are we doing already? And as a result, it wasn't going to be so complicated. The man behind the Sturmer, the brain behind it, was Julius Streicher. If you read some of the transcripts of the verdict at the Nuremberg trial, Julius Streicher is literally referred to as the greatest anti-Semite in the Nazi regime. I mean, it's mind-boggling. But he is the guy with the hey, how you dear. So amongst all these gefährliche animals, the one person that was singled out was Julius Streicher, and he was behind it. As a matter of fact, it seems there was like a right wing and a left wing within the Nazi regime, and there were a lot of Nazis that they felt that what he did was overboard. He was very, very exaggerated in terms of the way he went about it. Regardless, he was one of the people that was hung. So this is well known that as Julius Streicher was about to be hung, so he started screaming. He said things about Hitler, Yamach Shemai, positive things, meaning he wasn't backing off. But the last thing that came out of his mouth, or the second to last thing that came out of his mouth was, he said the following. He said, Purim Fest 1946. That was what he said. He said those words. Purim Fest 1946, you can fact check it, this is exactly what happened. He said, Purim Fest, 1946. Now, if you know the history of Julius Streicher, he was an intellectual, he was a historian, and a big part of his whole avoida that he used to do was he would go and he would say and really manipulate and play around with Jewish history in order for him to spread his propaganda. See, he knew what the Yontif of Purim was. He knew what it meant for the Jews. This is something that he had written a lot about. And clearly he saw a little bit of irony in what was happening now. Because 10 people are being hung. And we all know that's the end of the Purim story. Where they hung the Aseres B'nai Haman. And this is what came out of his mouth. Purim Fest 1946. It happened on October 16th, 1946. And therefore, he mentioned Purim. But after the story happened, so it's obviously made a big tumult. And people were trying to make sense of it. What happened? Like, what did he really mean? And I've heard the story with the Belzer Rebbe, Rabbi LeBelzer. It happened with Eight Tzaddik. And they came to one of the tzaddikim and they said, what's pshat? These were the last words that came out of this person's mouth. And clearly it feels like there's some Purim connection over here, but we need to nail it. What's going on over here? And he said a davar nifla. He said, if you look in the Megillah, when the Megillah mentions the Aseres B'nai Haman, so it goes through Parshandasa, Dalfin, Aspasa, Pairasa, Adalia, Aridasa, Parmashta, Arisa, Aridavaisasa. There are three letters that are small letters. The first of Haman says, Parshandasa, has a small tuf. The seventh of his sons, Parmashta, has a small shin. And the tenth of Haman's sons, Vaizasa, has a small zayin. It's tough shin zayin. This happened on October 16th, 1946. That was Lemisparan. Lemisparenu, it happened on Chaf Aleph Tishrei, tough shin zayin. So said the Belzer Rebbe, he said, Megillahs have been written this way for close to 2,500 years. And there was a Messiah that there should be a small tough, there should be a small shin and a small zayin. And no one ever knew why. There's no pshatim that are given anywhere to explain why there's a small tuf, a small shin, and a small zayin. This was Abig the Messiah. Said the Belzer Rebbe, now we know why. There was Nevius over here. Because one day in the year, tuf, shin, zayin, did come a time where there would be 10 people that would be descendants of Amalek. Descendants of the same people that Haman, Vaseres, Bonov, what descendants are. And they too would be hung like the 10 sons of Haman. And hidden, tucked away, merumis in the Aseres B'nai Haman is tuf shin zayin. That's why there's a small tuf. That's why there's a small shin. And that's why there's a small zayin. And if this wasn't enough, if you look by the Aseres B'nai Haman, there's also one letter that's a big letter. And it's a vav. Vaizasa has a big vav. And he said, you know why there's a big vav? Because this is in the Elef Hashishi. Tuf shin zayin. Which Elef is it? It's in the Elef Hashishi. There's this big vav. There's a small tuf, there's a small shin, there's a small zayin. You can't say this without a chill going down your spine. But as I state, a tuf shin zayin. So I was just thinking, I mean, there's nothing to add to this, but I was just thinking one hergish, one hoysafa to this, maybe. These mamzerim were hung October 16th, 1946. Lemisparenu, it was chaf aleph tishrei, tuf shin zayin. Chaf Aleph Tishrei is a Shana Rabba, which in and of itself is fascinating because the Zohar HaKadosh says that's the Ikur Yom Hadin in Shamayim. But I was thinking, when we learn Masechta Sukkah, the theme of our raid bites were the Vilna Gaon. We We started with it on the base, and we spoke about it by the Hadron and several times in between. The Vilna Gaon said that the Yontif of Sukkot is the Yontif of Virotzi Saban. Torah asks Akasha, why do we sit in a Sukkah on Chodesh Tishrei? We should sit in a Sukkah on Chodesh Nisan. When did we get the Anani HaKavod? We got the Anani HaKavod back when we got the Anani HaKavod when we left Mitzrayim. That was on Chodesh Nisan. So why do we sit Chodesh Tishrei? The Torah says, Apshah. But the Gaon says, you want what the real reason is? The Yidden got the Anani HaKavod when they left Mitzrayim. But then after the Chet Eagle, they lost the Anani HaKavod. But they got it back. When did they get it back? The Yidden got the Anani HaKavod back when they started building the Mishkan, which was on Tesvav Tishrei. So said the Goyen, the reason we sit in a sukkah is not to remember the first time we got the Anani HaKavod. It's to remember the Chazaras Anani HaKavod. The fact that it was taken away from us, but at the same time, the Eibishter gave it back to us. Because the Eibishter was showing us that even though there was a Chet Egel, you're still Merutza by me. Don't feel like you're gone and you're over with. It was a little bit of a blick of a Virotzi Sabanu. We said that's why when the Yidden came in the beginning of Bayesheni, in the times of Ezra, the Pasuk says, it's in Navi, they made Sukkot HaShalayasu Mimais Yeshua Binon, some of the hardest Pesukim in Nacht. Sounds like they went hundreds and hundreds of years without sitting in a Sukkah. How's it possible? We said, that's not the Pshat. The Pshat is that the whole Indian of Sukkah was Virotzi Sabanu. When the Yidden came up and they built the second Beis HaMikdash, they saw the Virotzi Sabanu. How did they see it? Because here they had built the Beis HaMikdash. They lost it because of their Averis. Who knew if they would ever get it back again? The fact that they got the Beis HaMikdash back again, after all the tzaras of Galus Bavel, they saw a little bit of a Ratzis Abanu. We spoke about how the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah Daf Gimel, that Lasad Lavoi, the Goyim are going to come and they're going to say, give us another chance. So they just say, you know what, you want another chance, Beseder. Right now it's Sukkot. Go look, see what the Yidden are doing. They're sitting in a Sukkot. You want to do mitzvahs? Go sit in a Sukkot together with the Yidden. We said a glimpse into the other side, a glimpse into Lasa Lava. But what's this little glimpse? The glimpse is Yidden are sitting in Sukkot. What's the pshat? Because again, it's Viratzis Abanu. The Viratzis Abanu of Lasa Lava. Hashem's going to say, even though you're right, it was Golas, Abulamais, I'm willing to take you back. The Yontif of Sukkot has always been a Yontif of Virotzi Sobano. That's what the essence of the Yontif is. I don't know if there was a darker time in Jewish history, certainly not in modern times, than 1946. I mean, this is after the war. Millions and millions of Jews had perished. The Yidden were partially trying to figure out a way, how are we going to put this all back together? And it was a tremendous, tremendous choshech. And Chazal say, "Vanoichi Esther Hester Ponei b'Yomahu," because Esther is always the remez that in the Hester Ponim, in the deepest, darkest choshech, there's light, and that's really what the Purim story represents. That amongst the choshech, there's always a little bit of our Hashanah Rabba, which is the Zman of Virotzi Sabanu. It's on the Yontif of Sukkot. Kadosh Baruch Hu showed the Yidden after the war that even though we were just decimated and no one understands what happened and we'll never understand until Mashiach's going to come, but at the same time, such choshech and such tzaris, but at least for one day, there was a little bit of nekama. There was Vini Kesi Damam Loi Nikesi. At least for one moment, it was Kel Nekama Yis Hashem, Kel Nekama Yis Efiya. There was the hanging of the Aseres Bnei Haman. But much more importantly, the Yidden was Zoicha to Azab Blik from Purim Fest 1946, where it's Mamish Merumis Tovshin Zion. We were able to see that at the end of the day, this was something that was on some level preordained. And this is with a Pshat. It's with a Mahalach. Was it Mamish the Or that the Yidden had when they left Mitzrayim with Rasa Shivcha Bayom, Vayar Yisrael Sayyad Agdoyla? No. But something about Esther and Atayra Minayan. And through Megillus Esther, we were Zoicha in the Hastaras Ponim, in the Choshech, to have a little bit of art. And when did that happen? It happened on Hashanah Rabbah. Not coincidentally. Hashanah Rabbah, Sukkot, it's Viratzi Sabanu. That's always been the Nechama. There was a Chet Egel, aber there'll be Anani Yaakovit. There was Churban Bayis Rishon, aber there'll be a Bayis Sheni. There's a Langa Golas, aber there's going to be a La'asad Lavoi. And Sukkot is always this man of Viratzi Sabanu. On Hashanah Rabbah, we were Zoicha to a Viratzi Sabanu, but more as it relates to what we're learning now. In Yonah de Yoyma, that's Masechtas Megillah, came through the story of Esther, because that's Esther min HaTorah Minayin. Esther's Vanoichi Esther Hester Ponim Bayemahu. That whenever there's a Hester Ponim, whenever there's a Hester Ponim, what's the reminder that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's with us? It comes through Esther, and even during that time, the darkest time in history, but through Megillah's Esther, we see a little bit of our, we see a remez of Tavshin Zion. And that's just something that comforts the Yid, that the Yid understands that this is all with a cheshbin, this is all with a remez, and Metz Hashem will be zoicha to the Geula Shalema, b'mehera b'yameinu, Amen.